Welcome to the Whistleblower Newsroom. I am Celia Farber.
And I'm Christina Borgeson.
And we have a very exciting guest today. I am so excited to be speaking to her. Carrie Rivera is joining us from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And she is, you know, I was thinking about the word. This word healer is very, it's used a lot. But I came up with another word. I think Carrie Rivera is a liberator. She's a liberator of children who are in the prison of autism. This, as she calls it, the symptoms known as autism in her book. Carrie Rivera has developed a protocol, and she had to because she had to help her own child. She's developed a protocol that has, we'll get to it, of course. We're going to talk about it in detail. But this protocol, unlike many others, is successful in resolving autism in children. Her book is called Healing the Symptoms Known as Autism. And in it, there are over 200 testimonials of children who have actually been diagnosed with regressive autism and shed their diagnoses. Now, if this sounds unbelievable, and I know it does, we're going to hear from Carrie, and she's going to tell us how this is possible. And I also want to say, you know, this is the Whistleblower Newsroom, so we interview whistleblowers here and people who are generally pretty hunted. And I've rarely come across anybody who is as severely persecuted as Carrie Rivera. She has, by the usual suspects, her book was banned from Amazon. It was just knocked off of Amazon.
She was banned on Facebook, too.
She was banned on Facebook. Her Facebook groups, which had tens of thousands of parents who depended on that group, was just suddenly deleted. Even her private email, Yahoo, was deleted. She speaks all over the world. She's just such a powerhouse. She speaks at Autism One, draws huge crowds. She does interviews. She's just an unbelievably important human being. I happen to think right now that the most important thing is that we stay alive before we get to everything else. And seems like they're trying to kill us with all this stuff, all these poisons coming at us. So welcome, Carrie Rivera.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for all those kind words. I couldn't do anything else because the truth is what sets us free, and we can't live in fear because that's the absence of love. So we have to just keep going forward and looking towards the recovery. And, you know, it's really funny when these things were the last couple months have been more severe than even the months prior. And, like, every week I was getting a recovery. Every week a parent was telling me, my child's ATEC is under 10. My child is, you know, recovered. My child, we went to
What's the ATEC?
Yeah, we'll
ATEC is called Autism Treatment Evaluation Checklist, and it's free to do online at autism.com. And there's a number range. It goes basically 0 to 160. So 160 is the person is not functioning in any way, shape, or form. And 0 might be, you know, any one of us speaking here today might be maybe 0, 1, 2, or 3, something like that. We'd be very, very low. But they take into account behaviors and bathrooming and self-skills and all those kind of things. There's a lot of different things that they look at for the ATEC score. And so we can measure between 0 and 10 on the ATEC would be considered recovered. I would say at a 10, you probably have a little bit of work to do, maybe a little hyperactivity, maybe not as social as you. So you have to spend a little bit more time because, of course, a lot of the children, they were developing normally, and then all of a sudden they were not developing normally. So they miss a chunk of their life usually while they're in this autism state by the time we get them back.
Is that what happened to your child?
Yeah, exactly.
At what age?
At 2, it was really, really obvious. It was after that last vaccine when he was 2 years old. It was a day after his second birthday, and there was the flapping and squealing and running back and forth and not sleeping, and then, of course, the crying all night long. So he went from, I don't know how many dozens of words that he had at the age of 1 until by the age of 2, they were gone. They were almost all gone. He was almost completely silent by 2.5.
Yeah, this is an unbelievable, what's being done right now.
Epidemic.
Every day, all
terrible.
Over this country. It's I sometimes say pandemic. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but, Carrie, let's just go back now to the beginning. I know you have told your story so many times, but not here.
Not to our audience. And I want to hear it.
Yeah, from the beginning.
You.
I know, yeah, well, let's just start the story where your son has regressed into autism. You're frantically trying to find solutions, find something that will help him. And first, you go through all the, what shall we call it, like conventional detox wisdom.
Wait,
right?
Hold up. Did you go to the doctor after when your son, right after he took the vaccinations, and then he started acting strangely? Did you go back to the doctor and say, "Hey, after this vaccine, this is what happened"?
No, because you don't. It comes on sort of slowly. There's a period of time where completely normal development, from the time sitting up, the crawling, the cooing, the speaking, all those kind of things are happening by 12 months, 14 months. And then something between 18 and 24 months starts to kind of slow down a little bit.
Said that right after the vaccine.
Right. That was when the big hit was happening. So, but when you look back, there is they're slipping a bit. You know, they're still walking, they're still talking, things are still happening. But by two, it was exactly, very, very obvious, because his aunt had gone back home to Chicago for the summertime. So there was a period that she was gone. And by the time she came back, the squealing and running back and forth had happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so Christina was just, what Christina's getting at is when the big regression happened with your son, are you saying because it happened gradually, you didn't think to go to his pediatrician and say, "I think he's regressed because of the vaccines"?
No, for sure not, because this was now 17 years ago.
Right.
So nobody was talking
nobody
about
was
this.
Talking
we didn't
like
have
that.
Internet even back
yeah,
then.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You barely
that
had an
sense.
Email.
Okay.
So
okay.
There was really nobody to talk to about this. And I lived in a very small town in Mexico, so it was like a beach town. There was nothing was cutting edge there whatsoever.
Right. Oh, okay.
So it was even less, and none of my immediate friends had any children that had any issues. So that was also another thing. So there was, you know, kind of nothing. You didn't know what was going on. Of course, there was a terrible tube. And his father was a late talker, and everybody came up with their excuses,
right.
and of course most of them were because we have a bilingual home, so they were like, well, bilingual children, and then he was kind of spoiled because he had a nanny, apparently they were saying. I mean, they came up with every possible excuse in the book for this regression.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until my kids were at a school, and it was a private school, and the teacher in his class was always like, Patrick's doing these strange things, and I was like, yeah, but everybody told me it was fine, so I'd go to the pediatrician, they'd say, hey, it just spoiled and everything. So the director of the school, one of her friends was a psychologist from the U.S., and she was on vacation there. And she said, "I'd like my friend to see your kids." And I was like, "Oh yeah, the older one. He was kind of a little ADHD, and I was doing so good in school." And I said, "Oh yeah, okay. They want to see him, not the guy running around in circles squealing like a dolphin." And so she just immediately said, "You know, does he always run in the circles?" And, yeah, I did. Yeah. And then does he always squeal like a dolphin? And we went through a series of things. She said, "Well, I did my postgraduate in autism, and looks like he has autism." And I said, what's the chance that you're incorrect? And she said, well, I could be incorrect, but I've seen, more than 200 cases in my, when she went on to do her PhD and stuff. So that was kind of the beginning. That was March 12th of 2004. So within about 3 days, somebody gave me a book about a diet for ADD and ADHD for autism. It was really a basic book. It was like no gluten, no casein. Again, this is, 2004, so this is old time. But anyway, I literally took away the gluten and casein in his diet, and within 3 days, he spoke three words that he didn't spoke in a year.
Wow.
So I knew that there was something to that whole thing. And then my mother says, oh, I know this person that knows this, big wig over at University of Chicago who's into autism, and So I get a call with this guy. You know, he's like, he got six eight month wait list to talk to him. And I get a call with him, and I said, oh, my son, you know, I started this gluten-free diet, and he's, you know, 3 days, he says three words, and I said, you know, I need to get an appointment right away because we have to get started on this, you know, that I understand that there's healing here, we can do something. He's like, oh, no, we can, it doesn't matter, 6-8 months, doesn't really make a difference, it's, you know, and then the diet doesn't make a difference either.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So then I immediately discounted, I said, I don't want to see this guy at all.
Good.
And then it was somebody, one of my tennis friends, and she, I saw her, and then something told me to say hi. This was a very, like, very, sometime in May, so now it's a couple months gone by, still doing the diet, reached out now doing some therapy, getting people to come down and start some ABA therapy with my son, and I run into one of my friends from tennis. And I saw, and I, you know, the last thing you want to do is see people. I was fried. There was absolutely, I was on my, you know, just investigating all the time and didn't really want to see people because I was living, you know, a true hell at that point. And, but I saw her with her new car and, okay, so I said, oh, hi, congratulations on your new car. And she says, how are you doing? I said, how are you doing? And she says, well, my dog, and we had old dogs at the same time. My dog passed away. And there were three or four things she said. And then I said, how are you? And I said, well, my dog also passed away. My child was diagnosed with autism and I had my identity stolen on the internet. She turns off her car and she says, I have a good friend from Toronto, Canada, who's involved in autism, and I'm going to put her in touch with you. I'm going to send her your email. Within 24 hours, I had an email from this angel. She just came from, I mean, she explained everything in a nutshell. She's like, you gotta go see this Dan doctor, which is a Defeat Autism Now biomedical doctor in Florida. So, you know, within 6 weeks, I was in Florida with my son and doing lab testing and all this stuff, of which I went from 2004 to 2010 doing those things.
Yeah.
During that time, I mean, you start to understand that, you know, autism is a biological thing and we can fix it and, the immune system goes down. So there's a lot of answers, right? But nobody's really doing anything that makes these kids come out of it. There, a few are, you know, I had one friend who started fermenting food and her kids recovered and, you know, so you're going to get the occasional recovery, but not on the rate that we have with the protocol that I developed because I had to look for answers for my son because everybody else wasn't making the difference that we were looking for.
You just tried stuff and tried stuff and tried stuff. Is that right? Trial and error.
What do you mean it's biological?
Okay, everybody slow down. Okay.
I went to see all these doctors. Went to see a lot of doctors. And you would do a protocol for maybe 8 months, 18 months, and you would see very minimal improvement. Very, very minimal. And again, these are tens of thousands of dollars to do supplements and lab testing and some medications like antifungals and stuff like this. And they really had very limited results. And so at the end, after I'd really tried everything, even stem cells at that point, and again, now we're hundreds of thousands of dollars into the recovery and really kind of minimal recovery. Things are better. There's some words. There's some sleeping through the night. There's, you know, things are better for sure, but we're not anywhere.
You're not out of it. You're not out of it. May I just ask something? Sorry to interrupt you. Well, Christina was asking what makes you say it's biological. That is the big distinction, biological versus genetic. The orthodox theory is that it's genetic,
yeah,
which of course it isn't. But so, Christina's new to this subject of autism. When you say it's biological, it's a toxic assault that can be recovered by detoxification, essentially.
Correct. And the immune system has gone down. So basically, whether it's stress or it's a vaccine, or it's a sudden onset of a toxin, for instance, the immune system will go down. And at that point, all of the pathogens can run amok and they can start to multiply and divide and travel throughout the body. So now we have a big dysbiosis. It's, you know, it's everywhere.
It's right.
Gut is, yeah. And this is where we can actually heal the body. The body's healing itself, of course, and we're giving all the tools that it needs to get back on track.
What is your working definition of autism? If I said, please define autism, even though
autoimmune disorder would probably be the one, you know, the one little catchphrase, because of course it's virus, bacteria, parasites, heavy metals, candida, they're all in there. Inflammation.
So it's like an interlocking of all these things, viruses, candida, metals primarily, yeah. But it's stuff that's in the vaccines that then also unleashes stuff that's in the body.
And has anybody actually done the research to show this?
Go ahead, Carrie, sorry.
Yeah, well, they, you can do lab tests, and you can see across the board, like, all the kids with autism have a lot of things in common. I mean, let's say I would probably go with, like, 95% of the kids with autism have almost everything in common, like low B12, low hydrochloric acid. They're going to have high inflammatory markers, high viral loads, high heavy metals, high parasites. You're not going to find those in labs typically because the labs are not set to find certain things. That's another problem with lab testing. So you're better. That's why my book is called Healing the Symptoms Known as Autism, because we look at the symptoms. And of course, when you've got the teeth grinding, nose picking, butt picking, night waking, dilated pupils from the ammonia, you have parasites, right? And you look at the OCD, aggression, and those are bacteria, and the candy, the crying, or the laughing for no reason. So we can look at the symptoms, which are a lot easier to identify than doing lab testing, but you can see them in labs as well.
Wow.
So tell us about the turning point for your son when he really got better.
Well, the turning point was really, I had come to the end of the biomedical. I mean, I'd done everything. I mean, you name it, I did it. Like I said, I even did stem cells. So every possible protocol I had done by that point, by the time he was 10. And I was looking and saying, he's really not that much better, you know, and he's far from recovered, that's for sure. So I laid on my kid's bed one day. They were at school, and it was, you know, daytime, obviously, and palms up in the air, and I just started to go through the names of, I mean, from Buddha to Allah to God to Gabriel to Virgin, I mean, every name you could imagine, because I don't know. I was thinking, I was praying to the wrong whatever, right?
yeah.
I just said, please, please, you know, I promise that if I get the answer, and I know it's not stem cells because it's not the curse on the poor, you know, if it's a $20,000 stem cell injection to cure an autistic kid, it's not like that. It doesn't go like that. You know, it's right. Going to be available to everybody because, you know, it's not like, you know, whatever the force is loves, you know, the rich more than the poor. So that couldn't be it. And it has to be available on every continent. You know, it cannot be just exclusively in North America, for example. Like, these are things that were going through my head at the time as I was asking for the answers. And I started to remember these bottles that I bought the year prior. So that was 2009. I had bought these really pretty bottles, some green ones, some blue ones, and they were kind of like that emerald green and the sapphire blue. And I bought them at the pediatrician's office who used to do the IV chelation for the kids in the city near Puerto Vallarta called Guadalajara. While I was there, the nurse came with this big box with all these bottles. I said, wow, what are those? They're so pretty. And he said, oh, they're detoxification drops. I said, oh, I'll get some of those. So I bought some of those bottles, and I just kind of shelved them because I didn't really know what to do with them. You look at them, they're just water. You know, they're like $20 a piece. You didn't think anything could really come from these things. But I just stashed them in my library. So I said, you know, I started thinking about that, and I didn't really think that it was going to be an answer because, of course, I'm not really like one of those like lucky people. So I went to my library and I saw they were still there and I took them out. I put one drop with one drop and they still stunk. And I said, okay, that's working for sure. They're still activating. And then I started to go through like those internet searches, you know, for does it kill virus? Yes, it opens the viral envelope. Does it kill fungus, mold, candida? Yes. Bacteria, strep, all these ones that are affecting our community.
I think we've lost her.
Okay. Carrie, I hope you can hear us. We can't hear you right now, but we expect to get you back any second. I'll just tell our listeners what was in those beautiful green and blue bottles. Tell us before you continue, please, Carrie, what is the name of the substance that was in those bottles?
Okay, yes. The bottles that I bought were called MMS, chlorine dioxide. So MMS was Jim Humble's term when he founded chlorine dioxide. So he had bought these drops at a camping store, and they're for basically water purification when you're camping. And they're actually a chemical called chlorine dioxide, which kills pathogens in water and makes it drinkable so that you will not get harmed if you're drinking water from a stream, say.
Right. Now, this is the most common water purification in the world, isn't that right? That it's
yes.
Right. And it cleans it also purifies, they use it for vegetables and meats and many applications. Now, the people after you have been trying to, I would say black brand chlorine dioxide by calling it bleach, which it is not.
Right.
It has a bleach-like smell when you mix it. I know because I take it. And it's absolutely, positively harmless. In fact, I found a paper on it from 1982. Do you know which paper I'm talking about?
Yeah, the EPA study.
Right, right. They tested it on, it was young males, right?
Right.
And they
metabolites.
They found that it was absolutely safe and had no harmful effect. Anyway, so please continue. So you knew what it was when you started using it, but you didn't know much about it. Is that right?
Right. Right. In New Mexico, it's sold by medical doctors. So it's, I guess it's just one of those things. They don't want us to know about it because you might actually cure yourself from something and they're not going to be able to make any money off of you. So, because otherwise, in Mexico, it is absolutely, not frowned upon. They sell it openly. And like,
wow.
I said, I mean, they kind of sell it like Avon. There's a distributor in every city. And many doctors from their offices will sell it. Not every doctor, but there's a lot of medical doctors that sell chlorine dioxide in Mexico. So it was not by any means, was there any mystery behind it or, I mean, and even back then, because this is again 10 years ago when I first used it, there was nothing like there is now. I mean, they really stepped it up so that people don't know that chlorine dioxide can heal Lyme disease, autism, cancer, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. They don't want you to. They're making so much money off of that. And how about depression? I think it's 1 in 4 people are taking SSRIs right now in the United States for depression. And depression is a symptom of parasites. So if you get rid of the parasites, the depression goes away and now you don't have a client.
That's fascinating. I've never heard that quite put like that, that depression is a symptom of parasites. So, so chlorine dioxide is an oxygenator. Is that right?
It's a pro-oxidant, so it kills through oxidation.
So it pushes toxins out of cells, but doesn't dump them into the blood. Am I right about that? I mean, it doesn't make you, you don't have to go through a worse detox reaction when you take it like you do with some detoxification agents.
It depends how you take it. So for instance, the old protocols that Jim Humble was using back, you know, 20 years ago when he first started curing malaria with it, they were doing 20 and 30 drops at a time. And of course, there was big detox. There was big Herxing. It wasn't a secondary, it wasn't a side effect. It was a Herximer.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But what I did was put it into a baby bottle. So a bottle of 8 ounces or 12 ounces, you take one drop and you put it in there. And then you take 1 ounce 8 or 16 times a day. So you're taking 1/8 of a drop or 1/16 of a drop every day more than the last. So you gradually are killing your pathogens. You're not just killing time and again. Autism is something that was coming on over a period of time. So it's not like a cold. Like you want to take 1 to 3 drops every hour for 6 hours and your cold is gone.
Right, right. Okay. So so bring us to the day when you first gave this to your son.
Well, I finally get a hold of Jim Holm. I'm sending emails. And again, this is a lot of years ago. So I'm sending emails and kind of falling on deaf ears. I'm giving him one drop in the morning, one drop at night, and I don't see anything because I don't know how to use it. I just see the dosing is for adults, and I've got a 10-year-old who he just turned 10. He was 100 pounds. So finally, I get a message from Mark Grennan, and he says, oh, I work with Jim, and I'll have him message you back. So I get an email from Jim the next day, and he says, okay, you know, 25-pound kid, one drop 8 times a day, 50-pound kid, 2 drops 8 times a day, and 100-pound kid, 3 drops 8 times a day. So, okay. You see this little water stuff, and you know, a couple of drops together, you put it in water, you give it, and no big deal. Well, by about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, my son projectile vomits. And I know I haven't poisoned him, because, again, there's none of this propaganda back 10 years ago like there is today, so I didn't even think about that. But I do know that I've been doing enough biomedical interventions with my son that I knew that, you know, if you go too fast with a chelator or something like this, antifungal, antiviral, you can get that kind of reaction. So I said, okay, no more today. By 9 o'clock in the evening, we were in the TV room where he typically would stand in front of his touchscreen computer flapping and jumping. And he could stay there until you told him it's time to go to bed. So if we had friends over, it was a holiday or something like that, he could stay up to midnight or one, with the family. He would stay up, and you know, with his screen and all that kind of stuff. At 9 o'clock, he turns to me and he says, I want bed. Mm-hmm. And I was alone in the room with him, and I was reading a book, and I was like, didn't just happen. I mean, because it's like winning the lottery. Like I didn't really just get all those numbers, did I? And so I just said okay. And then he started up the stairs, so I followed him up the stairs. And we get to the top of the stairs, and he says, "I want to take bath," because it was all bath time before bed always. And again, he knows those words, but I was always the, you know, the bath time cheerleader, right? So I said okay. And then he gets into the tub, and he's soaping himself with his little loofah, and he's really happy. And but not like yeasty happy, which is kind of strange. They're laughing for kind of no reason. Like he was really enjoying the bath. And then at the end of the bath, I start to dry his face. And as I peel the towel back from his face, his eyes are, they catch my eyes. This veil of autism had been lifted. And for me, it was a miracle. Obviously, it was full dose day one, you know, which I would never really suggest for anybody to do something like that. But it was so amazing. From that day forward, my son has been back. That veil of autism was totally gone. Eye contact was back, connected. He used to have a problem, like if we went to a too short of a car ride and we came back home, he would, I want a car, and he's running through the house screaming and slamming doors. That used to happen. Immediately that was over. So some things happened right away, and then other things took a period of 4 years to you know, get to where we got to. But during that period of time, I had a clinic where we were doing IV chelation with doctors and nurses and therapists, and it was kind of like a biomedical clinic with a hyperbaric chamber and neural feedback and a bunch of stuff over there. So, you know, and it was making kids better, but it wasn't making, you know, the recoveries weren't happening, that's for sure. And then about 2 weeks later, I go into the clinic and someone's like, okay, you know, we're ready to start. What's the protocol? I'm like, well, there's this doctor in Guadalajara that sells these drops. I would say get some of them. And then it started like that. And then as people would come from other places to do the chamber, we would talk about protocols. And then, of course, I mean, the miracles that people were saying in a really short period of time, and I know it sounds ridiculous to say miracle, but it was like, you know, the kids barely got better, you know, gluten-free, casein-free and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they're talking, they're socializing, they're sleeping through the night, they're having normal bowel movements. And so by November and December of 2010 were the first literal recoveries. And one of them was an email from a family that had come from Spain with a girl who was about 5 years old. And the email, I'll never forget it, read, Niña Recuperada. And it said, girl, recovered girl. And it went to tell the story, which I don't have the emails anymore because Yahoo took my account down one night. She literally went on to tell the story about how the psychologist who had given her the diagnosis only a few years prior said, oh, must have been a mistake in the diagnosis because autism is not curable. And the family from Guadalajara, which was the other, there was two kind of at the same time, they met me when I was in Guadalajara for Christmas time with family. And they were telling me, you know, how their son was before. And they were like giving me a gift of like a little wallet and little gifts for my kids and stuff. And, you know, super happy. And it was all kind of surreal. Like, you know, say, oh, that's sort of strange. And of course, now looking back, that was August of 2010 that I started to use chlorine dioxide and know people in the world of chlorine dioxide and seeing all the other healing that's happened to other people and, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, not just a few people. And Facebook groups used to be huge, you know, up to about two and a half years ago. Before that, there was a lot of Facebook groups and the groups were humongous, absolutely huge. Everything was over 10,000. And no, nobody was being harmed by any, I mean, zero deaths, you know, and then there were like tens of thousands of people better. And I mean, basically whoever used it had some good story to tell about it. But obviously there's a lot of dark stuff.
Does your son still take it?
He doesn't have to. You can get to the point where you're recovered. So you don't have to take chlorine dioxide anymore.
Wow.
Your bowels are normal. Your sleep is normal. Your speech is, you get to a point where you're healed and you're functional and it's, you know, that's the goal. And of course, everybody has their own highest best. Now, some people's highest best is absolutely perfect. They're like everybody else. And then some of the other kids are just living fine. So there's a margin, but of course the goal is always fully recovered. And I've had even a 16-year-old, he recovered, I think he was 15 when he recovered or 16 when he recovered, went on to university. I'd say this year he's in his senior year, driver's license,
wow,
was in the dormitories, managed his own diet, like he still stayed. He actually, they were on a, like, 80-10-10. Let me just shut out the window. There's some,
I mean,
some
this
garden.
Is unbelievable care. Do you have a rough estimate how many children you have, children and young people you have managed to recover with your protocol?
There's been more than 550 recoveries from autism that we know about. Now there's going to be others, and there's even autism.
And they write
groups
to you, and they email. Okay, now they can't email you on Yahoo anymore, and they can't write to you on Facebook anymore. So we're going to talk about all the assaults on.
I was going to ask you, when did the attacks start?
They started about 4 years ago. You know, right around the time they murdered Dr. Bradstreet, or, you know, that situation.
They murdered
started.
Who's that? Who's Dr. Bradstreet?
Yeah, welcome to our world.
He was,
little.
He was recovering kids using a product called GC Math, which is something I have in my product line also. We just do it cheaper. But the children were recovering as well with a macrophage activator NAGLase reducer. And that started about 4 years ago. And then there's that Aaron Health Nut News, Dr. Mercola's girlfriend, and she's been keeping track of how many alternative health practitioners and doctors who have been
murdered,
had untimely deaths.
Untimely deaths, yeah.
How did he die?
A bullet to the chest in a river.
He was found in a river, floating, bullet to the chest.
And nobody had any ideas about why. No,
except for he was on to this recovery with the GC Math and was going to be releasing some important information that he had found out about what was in vaccines. And of course, like they say, never say what you're going to say. Just say it. And then,
I know exactly. It drives me crazy when people turn up and they were about to make a big announcement. And then anyway, Carrie, what was the first, because let me just say this for our listeners. There are so many people who are in the healing realm and bringing in information and what causes autism and other diseases and what might heal it. But Carrie Rivera is really their number one target for the powers that be here. And why do you think that is, Carrie? Is it because simply you're so successful?
Yeah, sure, of course, because the people who aren't successful, they don't care. Sell all the supplements you want and B12 shots that you want. I mean, there's no success with them. I mean, they're really marginal. You're not going to recover the person. So at the end of the day, you're still going to have the, autistic children everywhere. And at some point, what I'm working with now is there's a lot of families that did all the biomedical like we did, but they didn't do what I did. They did all the other stuff, like I was doing prior to chlorine dioxide. And now their kids are somewhere between 16 and 25, and the behaviors are extremely severe. The pounding the walls all night long, fecal smearing, screaming, yelling, punching, hitting, biting, attacking parents. I mean, it's off the charts what's happening. But, of course, depending on how you see the future, I think this is something that goes along with what the goal is, not my goal, maybe our goal with the women I'm speaking with right now, but someone's goal.
Is there something in this that is not so simple? When I post about chlorine dioxide and the protocol and the stories on Facebook, which I don't do that often, but sometimes I do on Facebook, and there's often somebody will turn up and say, yes, many children have been genuinely recovered from this, but others it hasn't worked for at all. And I thought, well, fair enough. That's probably true of just about every remedy, but could you speak to that?
Sure. I think what's also important is how you use it. So if you go and buy two bottles of chlorine dioxide because you heard Carrie Rivera talk to these ladies today, and you put a couple drops together and you give them, or you buy Jim Humble's book and you do that for your kid, and not really better. Well, okay, there's a lot of things that can be happening. That's why a consultation with me is a good idea, because diet is really important. I mean, if you're putting Pizza Hut in by day and you're giving drops by night, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
And then I have a lot of people that I'll talk with, and they're like, well, we're kind of gluten-free, casein-free. Well, what is gluten-free, casein-free to you? That can be Coca-Cola. That's gluten-free, casein-free. It can be piles and piles of rice, which I see this all day, every day. You're not going to get any better. You're absolutely not going to get any better, or marginally better.
So the people who don't get better are those who are not really following the protocol.
A diet component?
Oh, yeah.
Diet's important, for sure, because we have leaky gut. So if you have these semi-digested proteins from gluten and casein that are getting into the bloodstream, then, of course, traveling into the brain, they cause glutamorphine and caseomorphine, which also cause brain inflammation and symptoms of. So you're having, like, these weird behaviors plus the inflammation. So the speech, it's not coming. That's why when my son, 3 days after I started him gluten-free, casein-free, he did speak three words again for the first time in a year. So his speech disappeared, but I was able to recover a lot of speech, just with diet alone.
It's amazing to me because, I confess I hadn't heard of you until Celia talked to you about me, talked to me about you. And I started doing, just doing like a little internet search. And I'm reading these articles calling you a bleach quack, that you have a bleach cult, and, you know, that Facebook has just kicked you off and so on and so forth. And what interested me about, you know, the articles that I was reading, one in particular that's titled Woman That Promotes Bleach's Autism Cure Loses Facebook Groups, is they go on and on about you being a quack and being doing this weird thing, but they never, ever talk about the kids. And if your protocol actually helped anybody or harmed anybody, or if it killed somebody or healed somebody, it doesn't mention any of that. It just calls you a quack and says Facebook got rid of you. And, you know, it's a long article.
They did a real campaign, orchestrated, paid, highly funded campaign on Carrie Rivera. I went through one. Also, I know that this is a campaign, very, very calculated, and I don't think it's been very effective. I think it's been probably very hard for you, Carrie. I mean, please tell us about it. But you're still going strong, and you're still helping kids every day, right?
Well, they're like Antifa of the internet, basically. Right. I mean, they're just thugs. I mean, they're mostly parents of like autistic kids, and they don't want to do anything about it. They just want to say, oh, we just have to accept them. If your child is suffering and physically ill, it's not about accepting. You have to help that person to heal. It's like having a type 1 diabetic child and doing nothing for that child and just loving them the way they are. That's cruel. Right. So, okay, everybody's got their own. I'm not going to their house to tell them to fix their kid, and they should not come to my house to tell me how to do what I'm doing either. But that's basically, they're like just thugs. So that's independent. How does it affect me as a person? It doesn't affect me as a person because I'm still living the truth. And I was listening to David Icke the other day, and I don't know if you know who David Icke is.
Oh, yeah.
I know who he is.
Yeah, he's one of the thinkers, you know, and I had to even
write
this.
I like him a lot.
I do, too. He's like one of the really – today he had a beautiful thing to say. I was listening to his latest one today, and he said that fear is the
essence of love. Oh, Carrie, we lost you there.
We lost you there for a second. Cliffhanger. Fear is the – say that again.
Fear – according to David Icke today, fear is the absence of love. And one of the things that I've always done is I hold in my heart with love the parents that I work with and their children also, you know, like he was saying too, like it's not about just loving your own children or other, you have to basically love everybody, even the people like that are bad or nasty or these Antifa, like love them like so that you can kind of maybe not join them in their hatred and misery, you know, never to end up on that same plane. Another thing he said was, fear of consequences call masses. Do what is right. Don't worry about consequences.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that we have to do if we want to make a difference in this world. And we've come, all of us have come, as you ladies know, with a mission. And our mission will sometime come to us in our lifetime. We can choose to ignore it, or we can embrace it in pretty much every facet and know that when the times are most difficult, those are the times that make us. They make us who we are. And it's always been interesting to me that people like you ladies or other people that have come into my world, they come in when I need them. They're like a kind of earth angels without signing too strange.
Yeah.
But they show up when you need. You're like, how did that person just happen to show up in my life when I most needed that person? And then they become kind of like support. So you're not the only person out there. I just did an interview a couple of days ago with Sean from SGT Reports. He's a huge YouTuber.
You did.
Brilliant.
Great.
Man. Mm-hmm. Love, love, love. I mean, Sean, I, you know, of course, I'm a big fan too. You know, I'm always listening to Sean, whatever he's got going. But these people are all getting hammered right now by the powers that be. You know, YouTube is also, you know, anybody that's talking about anything alternative, they turn them down or turn off their, you know, if you're looking for Sean, for instance, you got to type in all SGT reports, you know, if you just put an SG, even though he's probably the most hit of SG on YouTube, you can't find him. So, I'm not alone in this, you know, and when they're getting rid of people on Facebook, the trolls think, oh, they're doing it. Facebook is dumping everybody. And then they put us into these little ghettos. So I know, for instance, on mine, I only just see, you know, anti-vaxxers and a couple of people that I'm used to talking to. That's it. So I might see maybe 15 or 20 people when I scroll through. Before, used to see all these people you don't really know, and they were friends of mine, you know, on Facebook. I have 5,000 friends. I don't know them all, obviously, but people that follow the work. But people don't see your stuff. So Facebook is pretty much done. I mean, Facebook is not really a place to
Right.
You can't make it, you're not influencing anybody in Facebook. So people will look, you know, I still have, oh, now I have a website. It's carrierivera.com.
Yeah, let's say that a couple of, now for those listening who would like to reach you, either just, buy your book and, or maybe even get a consultation with you. Do you do consultations for people?
I do.
Okay.
I do. That's,
you're still available for that. Okay, great. So please tell us your website address.
Okay. My website is carrierivera.com. K-E-R-R-I, Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A.com.
You know, it's interesting because they can go ahead and try and suppress you all they want, but one thing they can't suppress is the rising autism statistics. I mean, shocking statistics that have just shot straight up ever since vaccines came. You know, there is a correlation. Remember, we were talking to that other gentleman. There is a correlation between bundling these vaccines and giving them very close to each other and apparently autism. And I think that because so many kids are becoming autistic or do become autistic, and there's so many of them out there that there are many more mothers who are willing to turn away from the allopathic medical establishment that is doing absolutely nothing for their kids and just saying, oh yeah, put him between two planks when he starts getting a little agitated or whatever, you know, these crazy things that they come up with for Ate, or put a football helmet on his head or whatever. It just sounds so barbaric. And so I think that people like you, are going to be found more and more and more because the statistics, keep
all
growing on this, you know, and people realize that the allopathic medical establishment is literally doing nothing but coming up with these, you know, I don't know, these things that don't really work, but that cost money.
Well, first of all, there's a problem is why are they making vaccines mandatory? I mean, there's now two of the 50 states, and I guess I hear New Jersey's going down also pretty soon. So we're going to have three states in a very short period of time that they're mandating vaccines, which is unconstitutional. And why do you have to mandate if they're so fabulous? You know, why do we have to mandate something if everyone they're so healthy and so good for us? And then Dr. Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F. You don't know about her.
Are
listening. Dr. Seneff has correlated, she's from MIT, she has correlated glyphosate, which is that stuff in Roundup.
Been
using on the field since 1972, and she's correlated that since 1972, autism and glyphosate have been on the rise together. And she shows it in her graphs. And she and I did an interview June 11th of 2019, and it's at carrierivera.com. It's actually the top video. When you go to media and click on that and videos, it's the top video. It's only 20 minutes long, where Dr. Seneff, she's a truth teller. I admire her so much. She's courageous. She's brilliant. And all she wants to do is tell the truth. And she's found that chlorine dioxide destroys glyphosate. And so what I'm wondering, ladies, is the big problem with me the fact that chlorine dioxide destroys glyphosate? And if glyphosate is the big evil that's going to take down humanity and change our DNA and harm us in the long run, it's in the vaccines in certain areas, then maybe, you know, for the $20 bottles of chlorine dioxide.
Did you say it's in vaccines?
That's what she's saying. So it's in the vaccines, but it's in the vaccines because it's in the aborted fecal, the aborted tissue and the this and the different parts of it.
Jesus.
So it's going to be in the vaccines in those things. And I'm not a vaccine specialist by any means. So, but in those things that appear in vaccines, there would be glyphosate in there. So basically what we're saying is, what Dr. Seneff confirmed in that interview, like I said, it's just an amazing interview, that chlorine dioxide destroys glyphosate.
You know, it's so interesting because glyphosate has become a big issue right now with these cases that are being won against Monsanto for the Roundup pesticides.
Yeah.
That, you know,
the last one was $2 billion. Really.
Have glyphosate.
Good judgment.
And you know what's bizarre? Is if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or all those places, because, you know, Roundup in Europe is illegal. I mean, glyphosate is banned. You can't use it in the pesticides over in Europe. But here, ever since those cases have come out, glyphosate, you see more ads for Roundup. You see huge displays in Home Depot, walls of Roundup.
Really?
As if they're trying to, like, yeah, you know, put it in your face to say, you know, this is all ridiculous. This is with you, the pesticide
this
that
is
you
great
should use.
Stuff.
Yeah. And it's sold here in Home Depot, and, you know, you trust Home Depot, don't you? And, you know, you trust
there is one chain that stopped selling it, one American chain. Carrie, do you know which one I'm talking about?
No, I'm not,
no.
But I mean,
okay. Yeah, that's right.
So scary.
Yeah.
But it's just bizarre how they're putting it more in your face as if to say, hey, no, everything's cool. Everything's fine, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating what you just said about chlorine dioxide.
Well, glyphosate is in virtually everything. You see articles all the time. It comes up. It's in tampons. It's in this. It's in that. It's just unbelievable that the glyphosate attack on humanity. So if chlorine dioxide detoxes glyphosate, we should all be taking chlorine dioxide. Can you tell us maybe?
That's what she said. That's exactly what she said. It was the coolest interview I've ever done, because as she was talking, and she had the agenda. She wanted to share this because she's now done. We've been knowing each other for almost 2 years. And so it sort of started like that, like that, you know, chlorine dioxide destroys glyphosate. But I think that she hadn't gotten to the point where she is today, where she's so decisive about that. And I mean, after we cut the video and everything, I just started crying. I was so happy because all the computers that can run and sort data, you know, millions of pieces of data at a time. And so she can come up with, you know, the fares when these fake NBC, you know, these fake news people are saying, people have died. But there's nobody that's died. And there was somebody who died. There was one person who died from kidney cancer, but they were in the last stage. And of course, what they said was, what are you taking? And the person said, you know, chemo, radiation, every other thing at the last stage. And of course, chlorine dioxide or MMS, they said something like that. So chlorine dioxide.
Is chlorine dioxide good for kidney cancer?
I mean, last stage, I think, you know, a lot of people are probably trying lots of different things, you know, they'll try any, but chlorine dioxide can help to reverse cancer. I've heard these cases before, and I don't have a lot of firsthand anything for cancer, but I've heard these before.
Are there physicians who have protocols, cancer protocols using chlorine dioxide?
In the U.S., if you're a medical doctor and you're using chlorine dioxide in 2019, they will take your license away. So most people would not even go near it, that's for sure, if they want to keep their medical license.
Now, before we go into focus, we're speaking to Carrie Rivera, and her website is carrierivera.com. And, Carrie, I just want to say all of us are being poisoned. All of us are different degrees of sick with this sickness
That's
and that
true.
Sickness. How can people who can't get, for example, a consultation with you, what is the sort of basic, how can the average person to use chlorine dioxide to improve their health and detoxify and stay safe?
We were talking about this in one of the interviews I did with Dr. Seneff a few months prior. And, you know, even by putting like a drop of chlorine dioxide, you know, per liter of water, basically there's 4 liters in a gallon. So, 4 drops in a gallon, at least keeping some chlorine dioxide in your body at all times in your water. It doesn't even change the flavor. So you're just getting enough that you're going to be able to kind of, you know, keep the wolves at bay, basically.
Right. And where, could you tell our listeners where they could buy it? Is there a place you recommend? I know you don't sell it yourself, but.
Right, I don't.
It seems to me it's getting trickier and trickier to buy it. Am I right about that? I bought mine from somebody in Spain when I was in Spain.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of places to buy it. So I haven't found that it's difficult to buy, because remember, they're using it in our water supply. They're using it to detoxify our foods. I was just watching a news story somebody sent me about there's a place that goes into schools and they can basically blow it around the schools to disinfect schools. And so, I mean, they're using it. They just don't want us to know about how good it is for our health, because then we won't be buying all those unneeded pharmaceutical expensive drugs, and of course all the secondary effects that really do happen with that.
There's also another tribe of suffering people, and I am one of them, who have mold toxicity, environmental mold toxicity. Yes. And it's effective against mold, isn't it? Both in the environment and in the body. Yeah, of course it is in the body.
Absolutely.
Well, this is just so, it can help so many people in so many ways. So, you were saying, so people can buy, if you Google chlorine dioxide, basically are they all, there isn't good chlorine dioxide.
Does Amazon
bad
sell
chlorine.
It?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of either Google or Amazon, but they sell it at WPS4Sale.com, which is W as in water, P as in purification, and S as in WPS,
Sam.
I've got the bottle here, WPS solution, WPS4Sale.com. And there's another seller that I know out of Florida, Keavy's Corner, KEAVYS Corner.com. Both of those suppliers are, I know, to be good, because I've people that I've worked with have used those particular products in the United States, and quite good. And if you have listeners out of the United States, there is power-cds.com, and their product is Classic One, and he ships everywhere in the world.
And people can buy your book, I presume, from your website. They can no longer buy it on Amazon.
What's the title of your book?
Healing the Symptoms Known as Autism, and the book is only in a PDF file right now. I guess I have to motivate myself to write a book that may never actually get any kind of any following, because, well, Amazon is the biggest bookseller, so you have to be able to kind of like develop your own market. I guess that's probably what I have to do. I just have to go ahead and bite the bullet and do it. I did a presentation for Autism One this year, and that's basically the outline of what the book will be, because the protocol has changed since the book was written. I mean, I'm still using chlorine dioxide. I still believe in diet, but now I'm doing what's called keto-karyo, a modified ketogenic diet. So we got rid of the grains and all the sugars and things like that. And then, a different thing, so that the kids are recovering faster and the results are better.
But when when you say you got rid of all the grains, are you talking about, you know, even quinoa and stuff like
right.
that?
Right. You know, one of the things that you'll find, and I find this even with people with Crohn's, for instance, it's not just gluten that's a problem. Grains in general are really difficult if you have a damaged gut for digestion. So getting rid of all the grains is a lot better than keeping the gluten-free grains in.
So what do you do for carbs?
Well, there's carbs in vegetables, there's carbs in nuts, seeds, there are carbohydrates, but we're still, it's a high fat, lower carbohydrate diet. It's not a low carb diet, because my kids still eat, you know, unlimited, like coconut flour, say, for example. You know, I make a bread with coconut flour. There's a lot of carbs in that. It's just, more complex.
I just want to say, what's so stunning about your book is I think, am I right, 200 plus testimonials from children?
Yeah.
From the parents, from the children themselves, and there's letters, and it's just so,
you know,
I just cried when I read it.
This
is unbelievable.
It's incredible.
One of the things, Carrie, that I have always been super interested in seeing somebody do is taking, the statistics and the cases of successful alternative healing protocols and methods for, you know, autism, for cancer, for this or that, and actually putting them someplace for the public to access.
For safekeeping,
like a
too.
Database,
yeah.
You know, because more and more you're finding, you know, the same thing goes for medical marijuana, you know, the things that medical marijuana can do that people have no clue. You know, because again, the statistics,
the propaganda machine,
well,
which is
exactly.
going to distort it, and then people get scared away from it, and then
exactly
that isn't the case.
If you have a database of actual cases, you mm-hmm. know, and that database is it, you know, and the statistics from all that are analyzed and provided as well, and the case studies are there. backing it up, I think it would be huge because I think it's criminal.
Well, Carrie
that autistic kids don't have access
essentially for the disease we call autism. She has her own date. You know, this is what she has.
Is that what your book is basically?
Yes.
A report on your database
it's
that you have amassed and your testimonials. That's what it is. Okay.
And it outlines the protocol. And the protocol was written. The book was written 6 years ago. So the protocol, like I said, is it's not out of date. It's just changed a lot. So. I definitely think that people need to look at the latest videos at CarrieRivera.com, and they're in order of the most recent ones are there. And
do you add your success stories each time you get a new one on your website, say?
It's been a mammoth job. That's all I can say as far as, things to do. And people doing them, and there's definitely not perfection.
Well, you
right
need
now,
help, you know, volunteers. I'll be your volunteer.
It is Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, right? Because right. People, you know, might think, oh, it's K-E-R-R-Y. It's K-E-R-R-I-R-I-V-E-R-A.com.
Right. And my email is carrie@carrierivera.com. So if anybody has any questions, you know, or they want to know where to buy something or, and even, you know, people will say to me, you know, I got Lyme disease. You know, what do you think? And I'm like, CD, black seed oil. I do a parasite protocol and, you know.
For Lyme disease?
Yeah, the protocol is the same for Lyme because Lyme is parasite and bacteria. So we would still use chlorine dioxide. We'd use black seed oil. We would still use the mebendazole and neem part of the parasite protocol. We could do a very limited, kind of a reduced protocol that I wrote originally for autism, but it works for basically everything else. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. And I understood all this as I was working with families, and the moms didn't say, oh, I've got fibromyalgia or Lyme or whatever, and they would start doing the protocol themselves and they would get better. And they were like, oh, I used to have fibromyalgia. I'm like, could you just write me a little testimony so I could share that with people? You know, I was just like seeing them posting about it on Facebook kind of off the cuff. Like, I used to have something that was considered incurable, but now I'm recovered from, you know, doing the protocol this woman showed me to do for my son, and I'm fine. So,
you know Carrie,
just amazing.
The holy grail of healing for so many years for people who know anything about anything is healing the gut. And I've been quite sick myself, and the number of hours I spent online, heal the gut, heal the gut, heal the gut. And I remember several years ago, maybe 10 years ago, they were all saying beef bone broth, and long story short, I feel like I did all these things that they all said to do to heal the gut, and it didn't really heal the gut. Does chlorine dioxide plus diet mm-hmm. essentially heal the gut?
Right, because you're not just going to change your diet and expect that your gut's just going to be like, oh, that's it. We're not giving it those foods that were bothering it, and now everything's fine. No, because it's
that isn't true. That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. And the people that used to do the GAPS diets, I work with a lot of people that have done extreme diets for a long period of time. They eat one grain of rice after being GAPS diet 4 years, and everything is destroyed. I mean, they're literally back to square one. And why?
Because the gut is not healed.
You've got to get the pathogens out of there.
Right.
How are you going to do that? So chlorine dioxide is great at that. It does not harm any of the friendly flora because it's positively charged. Just like, you know, and everything goes back to positive, negative charges. So it's a positively charged molecule, so it's not going to harm the friendly flora nor the healthy tissue. And then, of course, we have to put in, I use a digestive enzyme that increases hydrochloric acid production in the stomach called Robenzyme. And why is hydrochloric acid important? Because it keeps SIBO, which is bacteria and candida from the large intestine that's crept up into the small intestine. Why do most people who are sick have, they eat anything. It doesn't matter what you eat and you bloat. Tummy goes out, you know, sticks out. Why? Because you've got this bacteria and candida that are now really happy in the small intestine. Nothing can get to them. But when we increase the hydrochloric acid, we get that back down there and get rid of it out of the small intestine. So there's a lot of things that we do to heal the gut. And my protocol, like I said, black seed oil, some of these things besides the chlorine dioxide take us there faster and easier because they're just kind of different ways at getting at the root of the problem to get out faster.
Well, Carrie, I just can't tell you how much admiration I have for you, how grateful I am that you're on this planet doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah,
God bless you.
There's
nothing more important than what you're doing, and just stay strong. And once again, everybody, it's CarrieRivera.com, K-E-R-R-I-R-I-V-E-R-A.com. And Carrie, I really hope you'll come back another time and speak to us again.
time. Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Progressive Radio Network, the number one network for those who care about the truth.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from Progressive Voices.